Megillah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Zayin, 1-7. Another one of the Ein Bains. Here we have two cases about the Zav and the second one about the Metzora. Let's talk about the Zav first. The Zav is a person who has a mysterious emission dripping out of him. It's not a seminal emission. It's something else, which is different. The exact source of it or what it is sort of unknown. It's really unknown to me. Whatever it is, it makes a person tummy. Now, there's a big difference between if a person has one mysterious dripping out of him, or if he has two, or if he has three. If he has one drip out of him, it's like any other shechvas zera, and he's tummy, but just if he goes to the mikvah till that evening. It's a light form of tumah. Okay, goes to the mikvah, becomes a tful yom, a shein l'tumah, and then once after the mikvah, he's totally tahor. If he has a second sighting of this emission, and now the word zav, which means from the word zav means something like to flow. The word zov is the noun, the thing that flowed out of him, like eretz zavat chalav udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. So the zav is someone who has a zov, as is the zava has someone who has a zov, but the zava has like a blood emission. She is mysteriously bleeding, not during her expected menstrual cycle, and the zav is having a mysterious emission that's not, who knows what it is, it's some kind of, I don't know, let's just, you can imagine it's like pus, okay, I don't know what it actually is, but whatever it is. It looks different than normal seminal fluid. That's the point. So if he has one such sighting, it's got the same status as a seminal emission. If he has two such sightings, then he sees a second time. So now that Zav becomes tummy, and he becomes tummy for 7 days. Not only is it 7 days of Tumah, he needs to have 7 clean days if he sees, as long as he counts 7 days of not seeing any further emissions. More than that, when he wants to come Tahor, he can't go to a generic mikveh. He actually needs Maim Chaim, a spring, to become Tahor. And while he's Tameh, he has a very potent source of Tumah. He conveys Tumah not just through Maga and Masa, through direct indirect contact with him, but even through Heset, even through, that's also indirect contact, but even through something called Midras. Midras is that anything designed to support the weight of a person, if the Zav rests his weight on it, meaning a chair or the seat of his pants, or even, you know, Princess and the Pea, 10 mattresses stacked up one on top of the other, and he sleeps on the top mattress, all the mattresses all the way down become tameh. And not only that, but when he conveys tumah through medras, the recipients, the mattress or the chair or the pants, whatever it is, they become an av hatumah, like a source of tumah unto themselves that can be conveyed tumah to other people or utensils. So that's very intense. Okay, so that's quite peculiar to the zav, although the zava and eating your lettuce have similar. In any case, so once he sees the second sighting, he becomes a full-blown tameh zav, and he conveys a tumah as such. Now, if he sees the tumah, sees the zov, the emission, a third time, whether it happens on the same time for the third time that one day, or even if it happens, he sees, you know, on Monday he sees it the first time, Tuesday the second time, Wednesday the third time, even 3 days one after the other, he becomes the tumah is the same, but he has even more now to deal with in terms of purification, because he needs to bring certain korbanos as well, just to make sure that contrast is clear. When it comes to the Zav, he can see 1, 2, or 3 sightings on 1, 2, or 3 days, as long as there's no gap of the day in the middle. Whereas when it comes to the Zava, the woman, who has nothing to do with this at all, other than she has some mysterious emission, she has to see on the Zava sees 3 consecutive days. Seeing 3 times on 1 day or 2 days will not help anything. Well, that's not the Zava Gadola we're talking about. In any case, back to the Zav. So once he sees for a third time, now, in addition to being tummy for 7 days, needing the Shiva Nakim, the 7 clean days, needing the Maim Chaim, the mikvah, the immersion inside the spring, not just the regular generic mikvah, he also needs to bring, on the 8th day after he becomes through, goes to purify himself, he needs to bring a korban. It's actually 2 birds. One is an ola, one is a chatas. Okay? And the Mishnah therefore says, Ein bein zav haroa shtei re'ios. There's no difference between a zav who had 2 sightings of this mysterious emission, leroa shalosh, to a person, a zav, who sees for a third time. There's no difference at all. He's tameh for all 7 days with the same everything. Ela korban. The difference is that once he's a third time, he also has to bring the korban on the 8th day or anytime after he becomes tahor on the 7th day with those 2 birds. Okay. That's the zav. Now, the next case of the Mishnah is the Metzora. Now, Metzora is someone who has sort of these mysterious white blotches on their skin, as long as it's sufficiently white, at least the size of a gris, like think of the size of a small coin. So then, like somewhere between like a shekel and a penny, or yeah, some that kind of size. So then, on a skin, so that makes the person, male or female, into a metzora. Now, when it's identified, if there's some confirming sign that it's a tuma source, then it becomes already a confirmed metzora, called a muchlat. Muchlat means confirmed, absolute. Those confirming signs would be that inside the white patch on his body, he either has like a healthy part of this, of like speck of skin or a patch of skin within the white. That's one possibility. That kind of that healthy patch confirms that it's really within the white patch, confirms that he's tamei as a metzora. The other possibility is if he has two hairs that are inside the white patch that had been not white hairs, but now they are white, they turned white, that'd also be a confirming sign. So if he has one of those confirming signs, he becomes automatically a muchlat, a confirmed metzora. And the consequences are he has to go out of like the Machne Yisrael, out of the walls of the city, if he lives in a walled city, and he remains tamei until the nega, like the affliction heals. Now, if there's no confirming feature, he's got the white spot, it's the size of a gris, it's the right color white, but there's neither two white hairs nor like a healthy part of skin in the middle, so then he is like a suspected, I don't know what to call it, he's a muzgar, he's a metzora that goes into sequestration, he goes into quarantine for a week, for 7 days. After 7 days, the Kohen will look at him, specifically a Kohen, and the Kohen will basically determine one of three things. Either a confirming sign has emerged, meaning there's a healthy spot in the middle, the two white hairs in the middle of it, or the white blotch has spread on his skin. Any of those three options makes him now a muchlat, a confirmed metzora. If none of those things happened, there's no change at all, then he has a second 7 days, after which time he's either in or out, meaning he's either going to become a muchlat if then one of those three confirming things happen, or he gets to become tahor. Or if it's receding, like there's no confirming signs and the size of the nega, the thing on the skin, is shrinking, so then he already can now go, he's set free. It's like he's now on the way out of, he can go to the mikveh and become tahor. So the point of our Mishnah is that while a person is tamei as a metzora, whether he is a muchlat, a confirmed metzora, or he's a muzgar, just like a metzora that's in sequestration, in both those cases, he's already fully tamei. He conveys tuma by a maga, masa, heset, also by the rather, that those are, I mean, direct and indirect contact. He also conveys tuma in the rather, in the extraordinary way called bia. If he walks into the same room as something else and lingers there for a certain amount of time, then the things in the room become tummy because of him. Very potent source of tumma, the metzora, and he has to live he's kicked out of town, out of the machna, even the machna Yisrael, out of the walls of the city, and he has to stay out there until he can come back. Those all apply whether he's a muzgar or a muchlat, whether he's a quarantined or a confirmed metzora. The difference is, if a person is a muchlat, he's confirmed to be Metzora, at that point already, he also has halachas of Priya and Prima. He has to let his hair grow long, not cut it. Prima, he has to tear his clothing. He has to, you know, put like a kind of like a hood over his head, down to his mustache, and if he's mourning and so on. Okay, so that all applies specifically to the Muchlat, the confirmed Metzora, but not to the Muzgar, the quarantined but unyet confirmed Metzora, even though the Muzgar still remains tummy and has to be out of the city. And that's what the Mishnah says here. Ein bein Metzora Muzgar le Metzora Muchlat. There's no difference between, in terms of the tuma, of the Metzora who is Muzgar, who is in quarantine, le Metzora Muchlat, the Metzora who is actually confirmed by those signs, ela prio frima. The difference only is the requirement to let the hair grow, or cut to another pshat, not cover their hair, and prima, and tear the whatever clothing he's wearing has to be torn, like rended. Now, one more point of our Mishnah here, we're going to talk about a reference to the Tahara process. So when the Muzgar is confirmed to not have it, meaning his let's say his Tzaras didn't grow for 2 weeks, or his Nega didn't grow for 2 weeks, or his Nega shrunk after 1 week, so then he's like free to go. What does that mean? He goes to the Mikvah, and he has to be, he goes to the mikvah, and then at nightfall he'll be tahor. Okay? Now, on the other hand, if you're talking about a mukhlat, the confirmed mitzora, has a very complex, a really complex purification process. It's really too much to go into over here. I'll just like very briefly sum it up here, just so you can make sense of the words of the Mishnah. He has to first, on his once he's ready to be tahor, so, meaning his tzaras is leaving him, has left him. So then, what does he do? So he has to get a earthenware vessel filled with spring water. Gets two birds. One of the birds is slaughtered over the water. The blood drips into the water. The second bird is dipped into that water along with a separate like spritzing device that's comprises some cedar wood, some hyssop stalks, and some red thread, tolat shani, and that's dipped into that, and the tail of the living bird is dipped into the water-blood mixture and, like, spritzed on him. Then the living bird is free to fly away. The guy goes back in the city. There he gets shaved from head to toe, meaning his eyebrows, everything else, everything is shorn from him. And then he goes to the mikvah. That's the first immersion to the mikvah. He waits 7 days, and then he gets shaved a second time, and then he goes to the mikvah a second time, at which point, at nightfall, he is mostly tahor. He still is what's called a muchasar kippurim. He still needs to bring karbanos. And then the next day, the 8th day, he can bring a korb, like 8th day from in the day after he went to the mikvah for the second time, or 8 days from the first time. Then he has to bring three karbanos in truth. There's the asham mitzoros, as well as an ola, as well as a chatas. There should be three animals if you can afford it. Whatever, it gets complicated. There's oil brought and flour brought, and some of the there's dipping of the blood into his like the middle of his right ear, into his right thumb, into his right toe. So that whole story all applies only to a mukhlat. The Mosgar just goes, the mikvah is he's ready to go. So that's what the Mishnah says over here. Ein bein tahor mitoch hezger. There's no difference in someone who now he's ready to go because he's been in quarantine and now he's released and can he go to the mikvah and be freed. The tahor mitoch hechlet, to someone who was freed from being kind of confirmed betzora. Ella tiglachas v'tziporim, except the fact that before going to the mikvah, each of the two times, he has to be, even the first time, he has to be shaved from head to toe, and also prior to going to the mikvah, he has to do this bird procedure.